Infamous.net interviews Caitlin Pequeno. Take one.
Caitlin.
Thank you.
Maybe to get started, I'll just have you sort of introduce yourself so that anyone who is unfamiliar with you and your work can get a quick introduction to Caitlin Pequeno and to Anchorage, the project.
Sounds great. I started Anchorage back in 2007 when I started using GarageBand to like make loops and kind of get into the electronic music genre. I had done a classical violinist for 14 years at that point, but I hadn't really done a lot of writing. So once I kind of got my first Apple Macintosh, really, was when I started making music. But now it's kind of grown into this project where I try to combine electronic sounds, my main inspiration often being Imogen Heap, with the classical violin that I studied for so long. So that's kind of the main musical stuff that I draw from.
So you are a classical violinist, of course, and I know, at least from the internet, that you played with a Yale band named Rain Brigade.
Yes, that was fun.
And what I'm wondering is, now, in this coming year and time going forward, does Anchorage get to take center stage, or are other musical outlets going to remain important to you?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to keep Anchorage, like, going when I was at Yale, but I was found myself kind of limited by how to perform live because so much of the stuff I make is electronic. I did a few live shows, but it always felt like it was lacking the spontaneity of live performance with other people, which is why the Rain Brigade band kind of took center stage. But now I moved back to Central Florida after I graduated, and I've played a show at Anchorage, and I'm playing another one on November 7th. And with Ableton now, I'm using to mix live is really changing the game as to what I can do. So, yeah, I'm definitely focusing on Anchorage right now. And it's been really fun to, like, get to experiment with how to perform live and keep everything fresh when you're a one-person band and can only, you know, play so many instruments live at a time. It's pretty tricky, but very fun.
Well, I see on YouTube you do perform one instrument several times over, you know, looping your violin live or just looping several things so that it's just eight different Caitlins all playing their instruments at the same time. Is that sort of how the live shows go, or do you bring in extra people? Or
At the moment, it's just me. I don't have extra people. I'd be really into doing that, though, especially like a live drummer. That'd be really sick. But, I generally use a mixture in the live shows of Ableton loops, which are mostly all the synths and drums and everything. And then I have the loop station for certain violin licks. It's a little hard to time the loop pedal to Ableton, so I'm experimenting with looping both in Ableton and outside of it, depending on the song. That gives me a lot of flexibility.
You graduated, I guess, this past spring, is that right?
Yes, in May, yes.
Okay, so now you're back in Florida, and how has that transition disrupted or perhaps improved the conditions for making music?
It's certainly improved the conditions. A lot of the music I wrote in school was kind of like in spite of the workload, you know. I had finished my thesis. I was a molecular biology major, so I was doing really sciencey things, which was great, but it got really, like, congested. Like, time got very congested towards the end, the last semester, and actually all of senior year. So a lot of the songs I'm currently finishing are songs I wrote back in, like, October and November of last year because things just got so built up. But, yeah, ever since I got here, I've written a lot of new things, and I've found the time to really, like, figure out how to work Ableton and all these other live show type gadgets that I never like really had time to think about in school. The new acoustic EP I released 2 weeks ago, that was a product of like me sitting at home and out of commission for a few days. And so I guess it just goes to show that more time sometimes is really best for me making stuff.
I mean, I find this exciting. As a fan, maybe this is a very hopeful question coming from me, but I'm sort of getting a sense that Anchorage is your main thing now, that you are more a music maker than you are, say, a molecular biologist. Do you have a day job that you have to keep this up, or do you really
want to do it? I'm kind of looking at a crossroads, you know. I'm like, I always foresee myself doing music and making music and sharing it online and playing live, you know, as often as people want me to. I kind of just keep that outlet open because I don't know what will happen. But I do want to, you know, everyone knows that making money solely with music is very hard. So I am trying to keep up other options, like considering getting an MBA in business and doing like that kind of job, like to, you know, keep the money flowing. Right now I work as a math tutor at a mathnasium, which is kind of a learning center a la Kumon in Huntington. But we help children and students exclusively with math, which is really fun. So I do that during the day. And I have a recurring gig as a worship violinist at my old local church, and that's a really great time. So, yeah, between those two things, chilling at home, like, it's pretty great after graduation. For right now, I'm pretty happy.
That's good. In terms of balancing money with being an artist, mm-hmm. have you thought about for the next album doing a Kickstarter type of thing, or is that really not your style?
I would not be against Kickstarter. I think it's a really cool platform. Not one that I've investigated fully, but the album itself, actually, I mean, since I do everything kind of myself, I've been considering sending things out for mastering and stuff because I know that's just such a super important step, but it's very expensive. I've considered doing something like that, but I'm not sure I would be able to get, you know, all the support I would need to do that. So I kind of try to keep everything in-house. But I am definitely going to, the next electronic kind of sounding thing I release will be a more widespread kind of on iTunes and Spotify type release. So we'll see. I don't know what kind of attention that will get, but, you know, I kind of just throw things out into the void and see what happens.
You talk about sort of being a control freak and having like all the steps. You write the music, you play basically all the parts, you do your own mixing and mastering at this point. And for my money, all the steps along the way are pretty high quality. And I'm kind of curious, is there anything that you're drawn to more? Like, is the performance definitely the best part, or are you really also attracted to production and engineering?
Oh, that's a great question. There was a period of my life where I wanted to be a producer, like that's what I wanted to do, because I love, like, I can sit for hours in front of Logic and just tinker with things. I love that. But production as its own vocation is pretty tricky, and I'm not sure, once I really thought critically about it, I wasn't particularly sold on the idea of doing that alone. It's kind of hard to say. I really, at the end of the day, when I get most excited is when I write something new. I go to sleep or do something else, and then I come back, and I still like it. That's a win for me. I put it away, I come back, I like it again. And it still gives me the same feeling that I did when I first wrote it, and I know that one's a keeper. So I guess the writing process is often one of the best for me. But also, since I've been a violinist for so long, I do love actually performing, and I think performing with my band, the Rain Brigade, at school really got me more comfortable on stage in a sort of like contemporary music kind of way. You know, performing violin in an orchestra or as a soloist, obviously very different than singing at a, like, you know, basement show. But these are two skills that I had to kind of reconcile at school, but it really helped me. So yeah, I would say the writing and the performance processes are definitely my favorite.
Were you the primary writer at Rain Brigade, or was that a collaborative?
Pretty collaborative. When we first started, we just did songs that we had already written, which was funny. Our freshman year, we repurposed a couple of our bassist's songs. Jake Becker, he's a fantastic bassist and a great, great writer. And we also repurposed some of mine. So my most popular song on The 61, Truth, actually we did And I haven't really listened to the original version of Truth in so long. I'm so used to hearing the Rain Brigade version of Truth. That became one of our favorite songs to play. Eventually, though, we did start writing together once we, you know, got more accustomed to each other as a band. And that was really fun. And our guitarist is actually working on the, doing the production and mixing and mastering for that album. So that should be coming out in a while. But that's not up to me.
Oh, awesome.
So. Yeah. You'll get to hear the Rain Brigade-inspired music that we made.
So that's forthcoming. You made a reference to Rain Brigade having songs that maybe each of you had written years ago that they got pulled up to put together your first set lists. Mm-hmm. When you're looking forward to the next Anchorage album, I mean, I know that between SoundCloud and YouTube and the 61, there are probably over 50 Anchorage songs floating around the internet.
Yeah.
Are any of those old songs things that you want to like dredge up and improve upon to put, or do you just really enjoy writing new stuff and moving forward?
Super cool question. I think I've definitely toyed with the idea of dredging up old things. My favorite thing to do is like sparkle up an old thing and make it fresh. I think with that 61 song, Truth, I've always really liked it, and I don't really like how the production sounds now, based on what I know now about production versus when I did that song in 2010. I would kind of like to spruce that up with new drums and new vocals. That'd be nice. One of the older songs I wrote over a year ago, which is a YouTube video, still beautiful to me, video originally by the Jubilee Project, redone by YouTube user Booty Hole. Don't know why he said that, but that's fun. He did this video, and I, for a songwriting class, I wrote the song to it. I liked that song, and even though it wasn't really written with the concept of the current album in mind, I feel like it needs a place on this current album, so I'm putting that on there. I love repurposing old things. There's this old 8-bit kind of sounding thing I did on the 61 called Crystal Caves or something, mostly because my friend thought it sounded like a Crystal Caves like video game like level or something. So I redid that and actually made it a whole song a couple years later because I really liked the magical 8-bit plugin I downloaded from the internet. So things happen. You know, it's never out of the question. There's so much like random material floating around on the internet that I'm like, this thing, maybe I'll make something new. Who knows?
Sure. I'm sure that you have, you know, your own files of your music in whatever format it went through recording and mixing and all those steps.
Yeah, there's a lot more on the computer than ever. I never reached SoundCloud, but all that floating around. So.
It's funny thinking, Crystal Caves, you said, that's an 8-bit sounding song. I remember that
one.
And this Bedrest EP was all acoustic. And both of those are sort of ways of challenging yourself and stretching the ways in which you can write music, not to mention forcing yourself to write the Bedrest EP in what, one day, start to finish?
Yeah, that was my challenge. This was actually inspired almost completely by the bassist in the Rain Brigade, Jake Backer. At school several times when we had a long weekend, he would like go with his, like, he had like 50,000 other bands, but one of his bands, he like just kind of holed himself up in the studio. And they just pounded out a brand new, like, three-song thing just to get it out there, you know. Sometimes you get so fed up with, like, the mixing process and, like, getting everything perfect about new things that you're just like, man, I just really want to release some music. And that's kind of what I felt like 2 weeks ago. I was like, God, I haven't made anything new in so long, and I just want to share something, so I'll just make this thing. I did it in a day. The only song that I didn't write that day was the middle song, Dirtbag, which was a Rain Brigade song, but I did all the recording and repurposing and writing of the two other songs, in that day, which was fun.
I think that was a fantastic project because it's good for you. You get to challenge yourself, and I think that typically that makes an artist grow, and you can maybe learn something from it that ends up influencing your later work. It's great for the fans because, hey, it's a new release, three new recordings.
Yeah.
When you look forward to this upcoming full-length Anchorage album that you're working on, you say it's going to be more electronic. Is it going to be more like in your wheelhouse doing the sorts of songs that you feel really comfortable with and excited about?
Yeah, I mean, comparing it to Out of the Garden, I guess, which is the only full-length type thing that's out there, it has a similar feel, like the kind of electronic stuff I throw in there with the violin. I think the violin is more prominently featured now than I may have featured it in the past, because I really like bending the sound and really experimenting with what's going on, how you can change the violin to make it not sound like a violin and also use it as a violin. That's something I've been really experimenting with in this album. So yeah, it definitely sounds more like not like the Bed Rest EP. Although a lot of the violin licks kind of things, those are very similar. I'll do those electronically, but also acoustically, which is kind of the acoustic bridge I'm hoping to forge between the electronic sound and the kind of more folksy, bluesy sound of, like, you know, organic blues rock and stuff like that.
Do you think of yourself as a violinist first?
Yes.
Definitely a violinist who also happens to sing and make beats and produce their own music.
Yeah, I think the violin just was so central to me for so long. It's kind of hard to put anything else before it. A lot of people don't know this, but I really hated my voice for a long time, pretty much until college. Even when I was making things on the 61 before I went to college, I used a lot of, like, you know, auto-tune type things just because I thought I couldn't sing at the level, like the pitch level I really wanted to sing at. But it was really a matter of just not, my voice not being trained and not using it enough. Because I'm a violinist, I have pretty high standards for pitch. I don't want my voice to ever be out of tune. So being in a band and being in college, like, made me really work on that and figure out, like, oh, it's not that I don't know what to do. I just, you know, my voice is just, I haven't been a singer. I've been a violinist. It's not, I don't know how to control it like real vocalists do. But that's definitely improved, and now I don't use that pitch stuff anymore, which is really freeing for me, because I can make music now that I couldn't make in high school. So that like the Bed Rest EP, I could have never done that in high school. I would never have been confident enough to sing acoustic with no electronics behind me. So that's I was very happy that I was able to do that.
That's definitely exciting growth that you improve in different realms, including vocals. Being able to sing with confidence on your own record, it saves you the trouble, I guess, of outsourcing the vocals to someone else while you do everything in the background.
That's definitely a part of it. With performing live, I have had to get used to singing, you know, words, remembering words. It's not something I had to do as a violinist, so that became a little bit of a source of stress, like when I first tried to do Anchorage things at school. But again, you know, just being in a real band and having to cover songs in like a day, and, you know, learning the lyrics to Danny California in a few hours, like, okay, that's tricky. You know, it pushed me and it made me, like, be more comfortable with, you know, singing words and remembering them. And now with triggering things in Ableton and playing violin at the same time, the words, now that I practice, you know, my set a lot, I don't really worry about it anymore, because the actions become part of the performance, that each trigger is a performance, and each word becomes, you know, kind of interwoven. It doesn't bother me nearly as much as it used to, so that's good.
And you don't need to go up on stage with a music stand and a sheet of lyrics.
No, and that's super freeing. And if I had to do that, I would feel pretty, I don't know, kind of awkward, very limited, you know. I had a recital before I graduated of my classical stuff. I studied with a fantastic teacher at Yale named Kyung Yu, and I did the Brahms concerto from memory, and I didn't really think I could do that at the end of my time there, just because I was so tired thesising and all this other stuff. But I knew that if I played with music, it wouldn't be the performance I wanted. So even though there might have been a couple memory slips in that really long piece, it was really great to just prove to myself that, yes, I can play a concerto from memory, like a full concerto, you know. So this year has all been about kind of pushing myself into new artistic things, which has been cool.
You said that Anchorage started about 2007 when you were in high school, and now you've been, I mean, writing and just trying out new ideas for so many years, and you went through Yale. You had your own different opportunities to play there classically, Rain Brigade. Mm-hmm. You've been expanding. It's just picking up steam in every way, and now you have more time, more space, more freedom to develop all this stuff. It's got to be a most exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, in some ways, like coming back home, it seems like a slowing down just because the pace of life, first of all, in the North is faster than it is down here in Florida. But also just taking yourself out of the collegiate environment, especially such a vivacious environment like as Yale, it was a change of pace. But I think in terms of your creativity and having time to really work on all the projects that I'm doing right now, it definitely was needed. And in that sense, things aren't slowing down at all. There's a lot of things in flux, like different projects I have and things I want to share. And yeah, I guess, like you said, it's just a matter of hoping that it gets into more ears and onto more hard drives and hoping more people really enjoy the things I make, because nothing makes me happier than sharing something with someone and having them really enjoy it and mean something to them. So
I would really enjoy if you could share maybe a little bit of some kind of preview, some kind of tidbit, some interesting fact about the forthcoming album, or maybe a song or two that you're working on, if there's any sort of spoilers you want to put out there.
Oh, there's a lot of spoilers. My favorite spoiler. Well, I can tell you the main concept behind the album, because this album, it's not a concept album, but it was born from an idea. So the idea was to write an album that tracked with a novel, because I really love to write. I've always written, like, I wrote stories before I wrote songs, and I think the reason I started to write songs was partly because I wrote stories, and I'm a huge, like, young adult fantasy, sci-fi junkie, and that's what I write, because I love that genre. So I've been writing this kind of YA trilogy type thing, kind of Philip Pullman-esque with magic and stuff. And I wanted to write some songs that tied in with that kind of story, the plot of that book that I'm trying to get published right now. And this album is kind of an exploration of where that book ends, like the story of it, and where my life, like in the past year, has begun. So it's kind of a mixture of songs taken from like inspirations and scenes in the book, conversations between characters, scenery, like background and stuff, atmosphere, as well as just like what it's been like graduating from college and going out into the world not knowing exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, you know. So you'll definitely get a lot of there's a lot of new sounds. The beats are pretty prominent. But it's also very acoustic in spots as well. So I think if you kind of meshed like my older electronic stuff with the Bedrest EP, you'd get the new album. If that gives you any idea.
Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. I like the idea of tying in with a novel. I can't remember the band's name. I know that there's a metal sort of hardcore band that did like a 4-album series all tied in with sci-fi comic books that the lead singer had written.
Yeah, that's a super cool thing. I know that if you know the I don't know if it's really a band, I think it's just a guy. Radical Face. He's super good. He did an album actually, I think he's planning like a trilogy of albums that are kind of around this idea, this family, and the generations of this family. And he's only using instruments from the time period of that family, which is super awesome.
Whoa.
Which is really cool. You should check him out. He's super good. If I ever met him, I would forget. But then, yeah, I think even Arcade Fire like did an album where they like based it off of some sort of story in their head of like a post-apocalyptic future where kids were like the only survivors or something. I don't know. I read that on the internet somewhere, so it might not be true. But yeah, I did cool like inspirations for albums and stuff. I was like, why don't I just use like some of the stuff I've written and see what comes of it and see how much of me is in this song and how much is of, you know, these characters that I've grown up with, basically.
Can I trust that if we are following Anchorage on social media somewhere, that when this novel gets published, you'll announce it to the world so that we can get both that and the album and appreciate them together?
Truly, that would be my dream. I mean, if I could publish the book, you know, which is an arduous process in itself, you know, and have like QR codes, you know, on the front cover and be like, yo, check this out. The album goes with it, kind of, you know, that'd be so cool. I would really love that.
I was going to say, I just actually, a month ago, ordered a combination album and paired graphic novel from an emo band called Empire, I Was a Lonely Estate.
Oh, cool.
So this sort of thing can be done and has been done, and they're pretty, they sort of have a mom-and-pop shop record label, so even on a low budget.
Yeah, I mean, that's so awesome. I mean, I really love the idea of music being released with novels and having that interplay of words, both in condensed song form and then the long prose. I just think that's really interesting. I have a Tumblr, of several Tumblrs, but I have one Tumblr that's dedicated to releasing some of the songs with excerpts, because I can't for like copyright reasons, but I don't want anyone to take the whole concept of the novel, but I certainly don't mind, you know, posting excerpts from certain areas that I think really highlight what the song is trying to say. So one of the songs on the SoundCloud, Notre Dame, which will be on the new album, is actually a post on Tumblr as well, and you can read the scene that really inspired Notre Dame on my Tumblr. So I'll broadcast that a little more loudly on social media so people can see. But yeah, hopefully people will find it interesting and not super cheesy that I'm writing a YA novel with an album. I don't know. It was kind of a risk, but I decided to go for it.
That's so excellent. It's almost like by just using two different artistic outlets, you're being your own inspiration. But do you often draw inspiration from sort of the young adult or sci-fi realm, or does a lot of your writing come from, you know, your life experiences, or is there some other like key hobby that feeds into this?
You mean my songwriting, like what I draw inspiration for that mostly?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I think for a long time I kind of resisted using my life experience because, I don't know, I just felt a little like it was very personal and I was a little worried about doing that, but I think it came out anyway. So I don't know why I worry about it, because it's kind of hard to keep the things that are on your mind from coming out into your music, unless you're super strict with yourself. I think definitely writing and music have always been intertwined for me. I mean, just in the past 2 weeks alone, I've been working on finishing the second novel in this series. I kind of marathoned the, you know, climax chapter in the book, like 12 pages one night. I just did it all because I knew I had to do it in one sitting or it would never get done. So I did that. And then immediately the next day, I worked on the mixes for two songs on the album. And it always comes in waves. Like, I'll do the fiction writing and then I'll do the music. And then maybe I'll do, like, something totally random, like play Minecraft for, like, 2 days, like, straight. And then I'll write again, and then I'll do more music. You know, it always, excuse me, comes in waves. And I've actually just gotten super used to that throughout my whole life. Like, it's kind of just been natural. So I think a lot of my songs initially came from my own writing, also from other people's writing. The books I really love, a lot of Tamora Pierce novels, grew up on that, and Philip Pullman, Garth Nix, all that Pixie Y stuff, like that all kind of fueled beginnings of my songwriting until I got more used to, you know, writing stuff from my own experience.
Huh. Well, that is sort of the creative process, to have things come in waves. Sounds pretty natural. When you think about, I guess, music critics like to say, you know, this artist sounds like so-and-so. But what I find more interesting is, are there any artists who you have consciously emulated their music, or else any artists where you personally believe that you sound like them?
I hate, like, elevating myself to the level of the people I respect. So I will probably just say the people who have shaped my sound, just that I listen to constantly, it's a mix of people and, like, just genre of music. I mentioned Imogen Heap because I love her, and she's kind of my inspiration because she's a one-woman band. She does everything herself, basically. And I've always, I saw her live at House of Blues Orlando the year before I went to Yale, and it was so inspiring to see her play live and see what she does and how comfortable she is with herself on stage and how, you know, fluid she moves on stage and how creative a singer she is, and she's just amazing. I think my other favorite band throughout, you know, high school, and I got a lot of crap for this in college, but I love Coldplay. Like, they're such a big name band, but I just love their songwriting. They write wonderful songs. A lot of my favorite songs of theirs are not the ones that are on the radio. They're just the deep tracks on their albums, and I just always love the way, you know, Chris Martin and the band really can create a song and atmosphere. Who else? Death Cab for Cutie, I love. I think their hooks are so great. The rhythms they make are super fun. And just endless amounts of, like, all that, just, like, Tiesto podcasts and, like, high school, like, super trendy music that I don't write, but I take a lot of synth ideas from because I love that sound of synth, and I'll, like, jam out to trance music all day long if I had the choice. And then also just, like, Irish music and Chinese music, like that kind of stuff. I spent a summer in China. I really loved getting to know more intimately Chinese pop music as well as Chinese traditional music. And Irish music I've just always loved because fiddle violin is just so awesome in Irish context. So I just want to put that everywhere. I'm sure a lot of the licks I do are super lifted from Irish songs, but at this point it's hard to go back and fix that, so I just kind of go with it at this point. But yeah, those are all kind of really disparate places that I draw from.
That's a pretty good palette.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. In terms of beats, I guess, I don't know. I think some electronic music, it's hard to hear the beat, and I always want to hear it more, so I guess for beats, I don't have a really fantastic palette for rap music or hip-hop, but I really respect the beats they make, and that's kind of the stuff I draw from for at least what I hope my beats could sound like.
I mean, even just saying that you would rock out to trance music as often as you can, and you take the beat cuts on Coldplay, and you also take fiddling inspiration from Irish and Chinese music, it proves that you're keeping your ears open.
Yeah, I don't know how to close them, really. I just, what did I do last night? Like, I don't know. I just listened to, like Owl City forever. You know, and a lot of Owl City's newest stuff, like, I haven't loved, just because it's, like, I haven't felt lyrically that it's on par with the old stuff he used to make, even though it was super homegrown and not produced fancily. But some of the brand new stuff he made, I was like, you know, this is a jam. Like, I could jam out to this. So I've been listening to that on repeat, and shamelessly. I'm like, I love it, you know? That kind of stuff. I like anything. I love listening to anything, so.
Well, I tell you what, if Anchorage takes off here, you release new albums sometime in the near future, you go on tour, I will be in the front row when you hit D.C.
I'd love to.
So I look forward to that when it comes. Look forward to the novel and the new album. And thank you for joining. If there's anything else you'd like to make sure to get out there.
No, thank you. I mean, thank you for having me. I mean, this has been awesome to finally get the chance to talk to people, share the concepts, and enjoy music. So thank you.
Been fighting for 3+ hours. I'm not sure what I should do. I'm scared smudge, bear a grudge. Being in love don't look like the movies do. So stop throwing your shade my way when I've got plenty of shadows for two. And I'll never forget it. Some safe and said it. Got a real case of noisemaker blues on the wrong side. Fighting all the time. Baby, you know.